for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. And we want to encourage you to be keeping an eye on the sky and just paying attention to what the weather is doing out there, making sure that no storms develop and head this way. And if they do, that you take the extra precautions that are necessary. Make sure that you are well equipped for whatever might come your way. And our governor said that he was praying that we'd have no hurricanes. And I say amen to that. I still flash back every once in a while to all of the things that we dealt with back with Hurricane Matthew. And I was like, I don't want to go through that again. I really don't. We had like two tractor trailer loads worth of supplies to unload and distribute throughout the community. Somebody, one of our missionaries, they serve Native American community out in Nevada. And they said, yeah, we saw you on national news. And that was just here a couple of weeks ago that they told me that. And that is something that I didn't know. But if you're going to make news, make news for the right reason. Make news for being a person that's out there helping other people to be successful in navigating the storms of their life. So do keep an eye out on the storm. We want to also encourage you to be very, very careful this weekend. It's Labor Day weekend, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people on the road. There's going to be traveling. There's going to be flying out of the airport. There's probably going to be people at the beaches, people out on their boats. And just want to encourage you, make sure that you take all the precautions are necessary. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and boat. Don't do any of that stuff that's going to put your life or your reputation and your testimony in jeopardy. That's just a free little word of wisdom. No extra charge for that this morning. So I will be preaching on Sunday morning. We don't have church this coming Sunday night. It's holiday weekend, and we always give that night off to those who attend Merit Assembly of God. That way they get to spend it with their family and friends. Get geared up for that brutal 4-day weekend that you've got, or 4-day work week that you'll have this weekend. And it'll be nice to have a 3-day weekend. So those are my community service announcements for the day. We're going to get back to the Word of God. And today we're going through the Lord's Prayer, the Sermon on the Mount. We're at the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one, depending upon the translation. And one of the ways that God does that is through his Ten Commandments. We're talking about thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. We're talking about the art of deception, the devil's scheme in deception. And right now we are getting ready to talk about several passages from the Word of God, and I've labeled them the DBD sections. The DBD sections, and that means don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And so this is our responsibility. A person can lie to you, but you and I, if we do our research properly, if we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to be deceived. They can lie, but we don't have to be deceived. There can be deceiving spirits, but we can be listening to the Holy Spirit instead of deceiving spirits. And so we're going to be talking about some of these things. On one of the recent programs, we had talked about that people deceive others through smooth words and flattering speech. Deceive the hearts of the simple. That was in Romans chapter 16. And we have a lot of people in our society that are very eloquent, very persuasive in the way that they speak, but their speech does not line up with the Word of God. We as Christians, we want to believe everybody because we're used to telling the truth to everybody, but not everyone is going to tell you the truth. People who lie expect that when a person is communicating with them, that they are being lied to. There is much to be learned from watching how people respond with others that are communicating with them. You can tell a lot about the nature of how they communicate by the way that they receive or respond to others who are communicating with them. You can rest assured that if they think that everybody is lying to them, that there's a high probability that they are lying to other people around them. We want to be people who tell the truth. Now we're going to look at the at some principles that have bearing upon our lives. And so we're going to start today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. And it says this, "Let no one deceive himself." And I've told you before that the easiest person to lie to is yourself. I've also told you about a conversation that I had with my son. He and I, we went out and played around at golf and had a conversation. And I was telling him, you know, that I remember the conversation we had where I said I was going to slow down. And he said, "Dad, you're lying to yourself." And I said, "You're probably right." And he said, "I remember that conversation." And I was telling him after, you know, at the end of the round, I was called him to tell him just how much I thoroughly enjoyed getting to hang out with him on his vacation. And I said, "Maybe when we get done with this project that I'm working on currently, and you get done with the project that's squaring him in the face right now," said, "maybe we'll get to do things like this a little more often." And you know what we said this time? It wasn't the same thing we said before, "Dad, you're lying to yourself." It was, "I would like that very, very much." If you're the one that's been lying to yourself, don't continue to remake the same mistakes over and over and over again. There are some changes that are going on in my daily schedule that are going to require me to change. A lot of people like upgrades in their technology. They like upgrades in their comforts and their conveniences. But if you ask them if they like change, they don't like change. If you have an old phone and then you get a new phone, or if the old operating system and they give you a new, everybody hates that because that means that you've got to learn something new. And I'm going to have to learn, because the projects that will be staring me in the face are going to be projects of a different nature. They're not going to be facilities subjects matter. They're going to have to do, how do I go about winning the lost and making disciples to the best of my ability? So we don't have to be deceived. Let no one deceive you. Let's get back to the Word of God. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, "He catches the wise in their own craftiness." And again, "The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's." So he says here that we have got to be on guard that we do not deceive ourselves. And the specific subject matter that is being talked about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there are two more of these episodes in 1 Corinthians, that we cannot deceive ourselves by seeming to be wise according to the wisdom of this age. Okay? Now, there are a lot of things that happen in the natural that you can bring some lessons into the supernatural with. But that's not so with the wisdom of men. The wisdom of God is of an entirely different nature. The wisdom of this age causes you to operate from a very selfish mindset. The wisdom that comes from heaven causes us to operate from a servant's mindset. That's not a negative. That is a serving God, not because you have to, but because you want to. You are privileged to do it. You do it as worship unto the Lord. Those are two completely different paradigms. The world system says that you gather around people around you that will serve you. The kingdom of God says that if there's anyone that wants to be great among you, let him be the servant of all. Completely different paradigm. And as a result, it's very easy for us to think that people who have a great deal of earthly wisdom are going to thrive in a atmosphere of a spiritual nature, such as our church or our spiritual lifestyle, a church, but that's not necessarily the case. You cannot bring all of those principles from the world and bring them into the house of God. It's not necessarily going to function well. And so if we want wisdom from God, we have to ask for it. A person who is wise in this world, right now, they enrich themselves by sharing that wisdom with other people. There's normally a price tag that is involved with that. But with the wisdom that comes from heaven, it is a gift that comes from God that we freely receive. We can freely give it away, and we've lost nothing in the process. That's an amazing thing. So it says here, if anyone among you seems to be wise, that word can also mean think or thinks to be wise in this age, let him become a fool. And that word there talks about become dull or stupid or heedless in a moral sense, and say, you know what? I have completely lost the bearings that I had before, and I need to recalibrate so that I am operating on an appropriate analytical level. You see, the wisdom of this world will alter your moral compass. There's been stories that have been coming out that say the values that we've had as a nation have shifted dramatically. And one of those things is people no longer consider their religious life, their church life, their spiritual condition. They no longer consider, the majority of the population no longer considers that a high moral value. It is not valued. Having a relationship with God is not a priority. And I think that dropped like 12 or 16 points. And this is specifically geared towards younger people. Older people would still be hanging in there with that. But what is considered normal church attendance, that used to be something where you were attending church four times a month. That analytic has been watered down to where it's now just two times a month. And still people don't rise to that occasion. Some of that could be health related, but much of that has to do with bad choices that we are making. The world says, man, we just need to go out and we need to do this in the world. Listen, the world is filled with ideas about how to make the world a better place, and it ends up making the world a more corrupt place. It ends up having exactly the opposite effect as what the wisdom of men would think that it would have. The wisdom of God is timeless. It doesn't make situations worse, it makes situations better. We have seen in America what happens when we marginalize exposing people to the Ten Commandments, when we of exposing people to the wisdom of the Word of God. And people are fighting and fighting and fighting, trying to isolate people from being impacted from the Word of God. And when we do that, they're left with the wisdom of men, and men's carnal nature will rise up and do horrific things. If any man thinks him wise, let him become a fool, not a complete person that just doesn't have any mental faculties to benefit society at all. But let them, you know, come to that place where they realize that they're morally bankrupt, that he may become wise. If we're going to grow in our relationship with God, there are certain things we're going to have to abandon so that we can embrace the better. The good is the enemy of the great, but I'm here to tell you that the things of this world, the wisdom of this world, is at enmity. It's at war with the wisdom from heaven. And God's got a lot more experience. He's got a much larger data pool to demonstrate his case than what we've got to support ours. So we have to be willing to abandon the wisdom of this world so that we can embrace the wisdom of heaven. Verse number 19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." Remember, we're talking about the deception of this world is designed to deprive you of the benefit of the wisdom of God. It says the wisdom of this world is foolishness. That means it is silliness to God. It is an absurdity to him. It is so drastically inferior to the wisdom of God that all it does is bring a chuckle, because it is just so drastically inferior. Verse 19 continues, "For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness." That word "catches" means to capture, to grasp, or entrap. And that means that in the wisdom, or catches the wise in their own craftiness, that means in their own trickery. Do you realize that there are a number of people who think that they're smarter than God, who are going to be able to outwit God, outmaneuver God? They're going to trick him. I want you to know that God deals with integrity. He deals in righteousness. He does not deal with people in a deceptive manner. He says, these are the benefits to doing it my way. These are the consequences for not doing it my way. And so whenever a person tries to play semantics with God, whenever they try to manipulate, it ends up being a trap for them, because God knows full well the trickery, the craftiness that they are trying to employ. Children of Israel, when they were worshiping their idols instead of worshiping the Lord God, they would go up onto a hill. They would do it at night. They would hide under a tree. They thought, no, God will not see us worshiping our idols. They would be doing things in secret, and God had infrared capabilities, if you want to put it that way, before man ever knew that infrared existed. He can see in the night as clearly as he can see in the day. Whatever you do in secret is ready to be exposed from the rooftops. And you talk about a devastating impact on people's lives, is when they have lived operating from the wisdom of men, and all of a sudden the folly of that wisdom becomes exposed. It's quite traumatizing. Verse number 20 says, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. This is not heavenly wisdom. This is the wisdom of this world. And he says, the thoughts that that people think with the wisdom according to this world, that they are futile. They are empty. They are vain. They and here's another one. They're an idol. The wisdom of this world becomes an idol to the people that are thinking them. Have you ever known a person that could not admit that they were wrong? You know, I think back to an episode of Happy Days where Fonzie was clearly wrong, and he was like, I was blah, 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 blah. He couldn't admit that he was wrong. Can I tell you that what I have discovered is that when I'm wrong, it is best to embrace that concept at the earliest possible point so as to get back on track. I am not so arrogant to think that I have never been wrong. In fact, I have a saying, that's the first time I've been wrong since the last time I was wrong. I want to make sure that there is as large a gap in there as possible, but the wisdom of this world makes a mockery of the people who embrace it. Okay? There are some investment things that go on out there that say, oh, gold's never gone to zero. People trust in gold, buy gold. And you know what? I look at the Word of God and I see that at one point in time, people are going to trade a whole lot of financial resources for just a little bit of bread. You don't think that can happen. All you got to do is look in the American history books to the Great Depression. All you have to look at is economies around the world that were once booming, and all of a sudden, they have inflation rates that are in the four digits. Okay, 1%. To 9% would be one digit, 10 to 99 would be two digits, 100 to 999, anything over than that, you know, over 1,000% inflation. That means something that you've got that's a dollar at the beginning of the year would be worth over $1,000 at the end of the year. That's the price of food. People say, you know what? We would give everything that we've got for just one more meal. So I don't have a whole lot of investments like that. I would much rather store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves don't break in and steal. He goes on and he says, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death. Therefore, verse number 21, therefore let no one boast in men. Let no one boast in men. I remember a football player, a couple of football players, that when you're in college, you're not allowed to have excessive celebrations. But when you're a professional, they take some of that away. There are still some guidelines and things like that. But they're supposed to be much more restrained and natural and things like that. But I remember that one professional football player ended up in his celebration giving himself a concussion. I remember another football player that said, you know what, I'm so excited about what just happened that he began to celebrate and he injured himself and he was out for the rest of the year. You and I, if we think that our physical capabilities are something that causes us to be extra special, just hang around a little bit. Records that you didn't think could ever be broken will be broken. You think no one is better than you until someone comes along and demonstrates they're better than you. Muhammad Ali said, I'm the greatest of all time, until he wasn't. You and I, we need to say, you know what? I'm going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to get into some group studies at my church. Can I say this? I don't know what goes on at a lot of other churches. I know that there are a lot of big churches and they have massive groups of people that come together on Sunday morning. Let me just share this with you. Sunday morning worship service is not going to make disciples. You need to get plugged in at your church into a regular Bible study where you can ask questions, where you can get answers, where you can grow in your faith. Small churches try to get large. Large churches have to intentionally get small in order to make disciples, people who learn kingdom principles instead of the principles of the world. You know, when you're going to school, they're trying to get you to be book smart. God is trying to get us to be kingdom smart, kingdom wise. Don't deceive yourself. The two will not equate to the other. There are people who have great, great wisdom when it comes to the wisdom of men, but they haven't got a clue when it comes to the principles of God. Can I just give you one? The principles of men say you get as much as you can. The principles of the kingdom of God says give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. There's one who doesn't ever have enough to give. There's another who gives away abundantly, and he has an abundance. The kingdom principles, the wisdom of God, they are worth your consideration. They are worth embracing. They are worth putting them into practice in your life as well as in your home. They are worth putting into practice in your health, in your marriage. There's not an area of your life that the Word of God, the wisdom of God, would not benefit you and would not benefit me. I encourage you, embrace the wisdom of God today. Don't deceive yourself. The two wisdoms are not created equal. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
You know you never have to knock on wood. A sign came through.